The first Raw of 2023 was a very wrestling-heavy show, but we still got some good storyline progression throughout the show. And honestly, I just have more interest and questions regarding where we're moving with some of these storylines going into the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season. We're going to talk all about it right here on the Noah Nation Wrestling YouTube channel. What is up, everybody? I hope your 2023 is going great so far, and I want to remind you before we get into this video that every single Noah Nation Wrestling video from here on out will also be available on several audio platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, and Google Podcasts. If you don't have the time to actually watch a video, you're on the go, what have you, you can listen to the video on several platforms, link down below. So we kicked off the first Monday Night Raw of 2023 from Nashville, Tennessee, with the intro of the show getting cut off, and the Usos, Sami Zayn, and Solo Sikoa showed up at ringside, were causing havoc. Love this. Love just the impromptu-ness that anything can happen. I can't snap, as you can see, that makes no noise. Just the impromptu-ness of something like that, where it just feels like I said, just anything can happen. That's what Monday Night Raw needs more of. Monday Night Raw has been played very safe the last few months, and just is really in need of just some energy, some juice. And this was a nice way to kick off the first Raw of the year, which is the Usos, Sami Zayn, Solo Sikoa, the Bloodline showing up and declaring a hostile takeover, as Sami Zayn said, to kick off Monday Night Raw. Kevin Owens came out, he had a microphone in hand. Sami Zayn pretty much just blew that whole thing off. Kevin Owens about to come to the ring, start throwing hands. Adam Pearce comes out with security. Security hits the ring. As expected, the Bloodline beats up all the security members. Kevin Owens hits the ring, and then he starts getting beat up by all the Bloodline. And then Adam Pearce sends out the, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, so we'll just say the locker room. But more specifically, people that have been targeted by the Bloodline when they were running through the locker room a couple of weeks ago, beating people up. You had Elias, the Street Profits, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Dolph Ziggler. I think there was a couple, Mustafa Ali was out there. I think there was a couple other people. It wasn't a huge group. It was just probably 7-8 guys, whatever it was. And then along with Kevin Owens, and they cleared the ring, chased off the Usos. Adam Pearce said they would all be in matches tonight. And then we found out after, I believe, commercial break, that it would be Elias versus Solo Sikoa, if I can get that out, in a Music City Street fight, because they were in Nashville, which is a nice little touch. Not really a huge Elias guy, so a nice little stipulation on the match to get through the match while watching it on TV. Not that he sucks or anything, it's just not the most exciting person to me right now on WWE television. So it was a nice stipulation to add into that match. And then we had Kevin Owens and the Street Profits versus Sami Zayn and the Usos. I gotta say, man, Usos, I would like to see after tonight, you know, not so much entanglement with Kevin Owens match-wise. I know this isn't the end, you know, for right now. And I mean that in the sense of, like, if we're gonna be getting Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos at WrestleMania, the less Kevin Owens could battle the Usos in the lead-up to WrestleMania, I think, is better. So he had a lot of matches with them, and tag matches and singles matches with Jay and all this stuff throughout, you know, the end of 2022, the last few months, and we're kicking off 2023 the same way. Obviously, it was a good matchup, which we'll talk about later on, but if that is where we're going for WrestleMania, which is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos, ideally, I would like to physically, in ring action, keep them apart. You know, obviously, there'll be brawls and promos and stuff like that, but matches, the less Kevin Owens versus the Usos on the way to WrestleMania to save it there so it feels more special, the better, in my opinion. Our first actual match of the night was one of the two advertised championship matches, which was the Raw Women's Championship, Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss. Fine match all the way through. I'm not really here to break down matches, like, specifically move by move. You guys know if you watch the channel, anytime we do reviews and whatnot, I don't really do that. I may talk about a spot or two if it stuck out, but I'm really here to talk about the match, the ending, and how it affects the storyline. So obviously, the ending to this matchup, we had Alexa and Bianca at ringside. I don't know, I think they were just brawling or something like that. Alexa might have did a move on Bianca. She turns to the timekeeper's area, and there's a man in a Uncle Howdy mask, or just one of the Bray Wyatt, you know, Uncle masks. I don't know specifically which is Uncle Howdy, Uncle Harper. We've seen a couple different masks by now. And it was funny because he was just standing there, and you saw the security guy in that area looking like he was trying to push him back. And then you saw the guy in the Wyatt mask just turn to him, and he was probably like, yo, fucking, we're working a storyline here. I'm supposed to be here. I just thought that was a funny little thing. But this took Alexa Bliss's eye off the ball, went back into the ring. I believe she was on the top rope, maybe, and then there's another person, different person, same thing, same mask, on another side of ringside. And then later on, well, I guess I'll save that, but throughout the matchup, you did see a couple spots of Lily the Doll being held up by somebody. I don't know if there was somebody just in a black hood, like, underneath the barricade, or it looked like maybe there was two plants sitting in the front row holding this stuff, but they had Lily just, like, peeking up, couple of times through the barricade, which, you know, it is what it is. I'm not a big fan of over the top supernatural stuff, so I hope Triple H and Bray Wyatt and all this are very careful with what they're doing throughout this whole process of putting what looks to be a eventual big Wyatt, you know, new Wyatt family together, Wyatt six, whatever it's going to be. Less supernatural stuff, the better, in my opinion. But Alexa was all freaked out from seeing these two masks. And then the Bray Wyatt logo flashed on the screen, not once, but twice. Alexa, all out of her mind, loses it, attacks the referee, lays him out, then attacks Bianca Belair, beats the shit out of her, drops her with, I think, two DDTs on the steel steps. And then as she's hitting one of these steel steps, you see in the front row, there's a sign, which I wrote down here in my notes, that says, "He's coming for you." And I had a couple of drawings on there. And then I think another person was holding like Lily the doll. And they were just kind of purposely in the background, which obviously, like I said, purposely there. It wasn't just like a fan or nothing. So nice little innuendo, I guess, there to just keep teasing Bray Wyatt stuff with Alexa Bliss. Obviously, we're heading towards Alexa, you know, heading back with Bray as we had during the pandemic era in WWE, which, listen, I'm fine with, because Alexa Bliss, I'm fine with to an extent, which I'll talk about. Alexa Bliss has just been there ever since that died off. She hasn't even been the goddess Alexa Bliss of old, like how she was on SmackDown Live and when she got moved to Raw and when she was honestly one of the top women in the whole division. She's just been a woman with no character. She's just there. She's just a wrestler. She's just Alexa Bliss for, specifically, I think most importantly, sticking out like the last 6 months, you know, her involvement in the whole damage control thing, ever since, you know, SummerSlam. But she's just been there, so she's definitely in need of a change. And I don't mind her, because the look was obviously awesome with her and Bray next to each other and her whole getup. It looked phenomenal, but I don't want supernatural ridiculousness on my TV. So if they're doing stuff to bring Alexa and Bray and whoever else into a new group, I'm all for it, which obviously that's where we're heading. Just less supernatural stuff, the better, please. I just don't want to see Alexa oozing black mist or something out of her mouth or fireball's fine, but like having black goo or whatever the one time was on Raw, which she just like drop shit on Randy Orton. We don't need any of that. No supernatural stuff, please. Tonight with like the creepy mask at ringside, like that stuff's fine. Fireball, fine. Obviously, like fireball's cool. That's an ECW thing from back in the day. I mean, you know what I mean. But point is, like, please, just as long as we keep it less supernatural, the better, and I think it'll work out fine. So obviously that's what we're leading towards with the whole Alexa Bliss thing. Match ended in a DQ, but with a promo later in the night with Alexa backstage with Byron Saxon, it looks like she's not done with the Raw Women's Championship. I mean, obviously she laid out Bianca, and then they showed her getting help to the back afterwards with Montez Ford, which actually played into his match later on. So a little, you know, another interesting storyline thing there, which we'll talk about. But I'm going to guess we'll get Alexa versus Bianca again at the Royal Rumble, which I'm fine with. And after, you know, SmackDown on Friday with, you know, Charlotte winning the SmackDown Women's title, which really took a lot of us by surprise, I'm very just got a lot of question marks regarding what the women's title matches are going to be for WrestleMania this year. I don't see Alexa winning a championship. I don't see that happening, even if she gets another match with Bianca, because especially I don't really know who she'd face at WrestleMania. I mean, yeah, you could just pin her up against any baby face, but that just doesn't seem like where Alexa's heading right now. So if she gets another match with Bianca at the Rumble, I don't expect her to win, but I would possibly see that being a possibility for the Raw Women's Championship match in the Alamo Dome at the end of the month. As we mentioned earlier, we had Elias versus Solo Sikoa on this show. Music City Street Fight, because they were in Nashville, which was a pretty physical matchup, I'm not going to lie. Went a little long, which I didn't mind, but the crowd just didn't seem that much into it. And I've talked about this in my last video here on the channel, with not that it's something that the WWE can change themselves, but I'm so tired of these crowds showing up to shows and they just sit on their hands. It's quiet. It's just kind of like a hum in the arena. It just brings down the vibe and the atmosphere. And when matches like this are going on for like a little bit longer period of time, it kind of takes you out of it. So honestly, like, I was struggling to stay there with them, but I definitely appreciate Elias and Solo Sikoa beating the shit out of each other with a bunch of instruments. I mean, there was like a tambourine that Solo took to the face like 5 times. They broke a piano over each other's back. A couple of guitars were broken. We had I don't know who he is. I only know him because of the Royal Rumble theme song, but I guess his name's Hardy, country music star, getting involved in this matchup. Again, I don't know who he is. Hit Solo Sikoa over the back with a guitar, excuse me. Solo no sold it, which I thought was hilarious. And then he like chased him out of the ring. Elias got back into it. Solo beat him up. And then the finish of the match, I'm just to breeze through it. Solo with a spinning Solo off the apron on top of a piano, which was sick. Like one of those big ass pianos, not like a keyboard, which I thought was sick. Elias ate that shit. And Solo pinned him and won the matchup. And for what it was, I thought it was good. Like I said, it was a little long, which I didn't mind the length of it. It was just because the crowd wasn't very into it. It just kind of takes you out of the atmosphere sometimes. But again, there's nothing WWE, I guess, can really do about that. But Solo won, as expected. You know, I don't know when he's going to lose. Has he lost one-on-one yet? I don't believe he has. So whenever that happens, I'm sure it's going to be, you know, a big deal. And it wasn't going to be tonight. But for what this was, it was good stuff. Then we moved into the other match that was announced earlier tonight, which was Sami Zayn and the Usos versus Kevin Owens and the Street Profits. And really, I already, you know, talked about earlier how less with Kevin Owens versus the Usos in match-wise for the next few months. I think it's going to be a positive for where the storyline's heading. But a couple of other storyline things to point out here. Montez Ford seemed kind of out of it throughout the matchup because of what happened to Bianca Belair earlier in the night. And it kind of got me thinking, you know, I don't know if we're going to be seeing the Street Profits maybe involved with the Wyatt. I'm just going to call them the Wyatt Six, or if that's where we're heading, Wyatt family. Whatever this new Wyatt regime is going to be, you know, maybe Bray, and he's got Uncle Harper, Uncle Howdy, whoever they reveal themselves to be. You know, maybe they're going to be going against the Street Profits. We could be looking, you know, I don't know what Bray Wyatt's match is going to be for WrestleMania. We could be looking at a big, you know, multi-person tag match. I think it's very much a possibility. And maybe I'm reaching. Maybe that's like, I don't know. But maybe they were just doing this tonight just to show Montez's involvement with Bianca and just to, like, acknowledge it. But with the Street Profits really not having much to do at all, you know, they're just kind of placed here and placed there the last couple of months. I don't see why, you know, they couldn't do that. And that gives, you know, the Wyatts, or not the Wyatts, but the Street Profits, you know, something to do possibly with this Wyatt family group continues to build, which is obviously in its early stages. But I just thought that was a little nice innuendo there, if that's how you say that word. And I think, you know, we could possibly see some more Street Profits involvement with, you know, regarding stuff with Bray Wyatt. Hell, you know, you could have Montez show up on SmackDown one of these weeks, maybe not anytime soon since Bray's, you know, babyface over there, and target Bray Wyatt because of everything that happened tonight. I think that's reaching. I don't think we'll see anything like that anytime soon. I'm just thinking long-term of what we possibly could get. But that was a nice little, what am I trying to say, storyline innuendo there. But that kind of, you know, like I said, took his focus off the match a couple of times. Solo Sikoa interfered at one point, which Kevin Owens went after him. This basically started a brawl at ringside. And then Sami Zayn ended up catching Montez Ford with a Huluva kick to get the victory. So Bloodline wins, Bloodline beatdown, hostile takeover once again on Monday Night Raw. And then Drew McIntyre and Sheamus coming in from the crowd to make the save. And they will obviously face the Usos this Friday night on SmackDown for the Tag Team Championship. So nice little matchup here. We have gotten a lot of Kevin Owens versus Jay and Jimmy these last couple of months. So the more we get it, the more not only is he going to hurt that end goal, which the end goal is more about Sami Zayn being in there with, I'd say, Jey Uso. But still, the overall is still like the big matchup. So, you know, you guys get the point. But just hopefully over these next couple of months, we get less, you know, pointless, I'll call them, because, you know, what major storyline did this, you know, progress here other than the fact then the couple things that I talked about. But, you know, we really don't need another six-man tag, you know, or another tag team match one of these weeks where it's, hey, it's going to be Kevin Owens and whoever's going to be his partner that week versus the Usos, you know. So hopefully, you know, moving forward, we won't see that. But for what this was, six-man tag team match was, it was obviously good. You know, I wasn't expecting too much of the match quality itself, but, you know, you got a lot of good guys in there, so it was obviously good. Had Chad Gable and Dexter Lumis on the show, random matchup, not that I mind. Chad Gable, man, you know, this guy's been doing some of his best work over the last year, right? One of the best, most entertaining parts of Raw. You know, he could be in a funny segment, which normally he is, some kind of comedy, or he can be serious. Chad Gable can do it all, man. But one thing we need to discuss about Chad Gable is, can we start getting this guy some wins in 2023? I don't remember the last time Alpha Academy or Chad Gable specifically won a match. Maybe I'm just forgetting something. You guys can let me know, but I feel like it's been a hot minute. I feel like they've taken a lot of losses to AJ Styles and the OC and whoever they got a run in with that week. They just kind of go through random little storylines here and there on Raw, and they're always on the losing end. So can we get Chad Gable a win one of these weeks? I think it'd be much appreciated. Dexter Lumis won the matchup, and that was pretty much it. Just, you know, little matchup between Gable and Dexter. Not much to talk about, I'm sure. I'm going to assume probably Dexter would be in the Royal Rumble matchup, maybe not Chad. I would love for Chad Gable to be in the Rumble matchup, but either way, they're not really difference makers in the matchup. They're just bodies of the 30 men, but I'm sure we'll see where that's heading with those two guys. Do want to point this out here before we get to our women's segment on the show, or our second women's segment on the show. They showed Damage Control walking backstage, coming up next. Damage Control, you know, one of those things. But in the background, very nice little detail here, and I love that Triple H is something that he's been implicating to make sure kind of you're paying attention, because you got to catch it. And we've seen this multiple times since Triple H has taken over. In the background, as they're walking towards the ring, you see Adam Pearce, and he's standing there with MVP, Cedric Alexander, and Shelton Benjamin. Three of the four original members of the Hurt Business. And remember a couple weeks back, when Adam Pearce talked about Bobby Lashley, MVP approached him, said, you know, speaking of Bobby Lashley, yada, 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 let's go talk. Then they never went to go talk because the Bloodline were beating everybody up. And who were two of the three people that were beaten? They were, if I can get it out, that the Bloodline was beaten up in that next segment? Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. So clearly, with all these teases, we are heading to a Hurt Business reunion, which I am very excited for. And I think it'd be great, honestly, if they were baby faces. They don't have to be. They can turn them heel. Either way, it's going to work. But a baby face Hurt Business running versus a heel Bloodline, that would be freaking sick. You know, maybe if it's on the road to WrestleMania, maybe that's a little too early. I don't know. If, you know, we get Roman versus Rock, and I'm not going to get into all that right now. If we get Roman versus Rock at WrestleMania and Roman retains and he holds the title for a couple more months, Lashley versus Roman would be a hell of a matchup. We've only gotten that, I believe, two times because they did the rematch like the next night or next week on Raw. But it was like the summer of 2018. Both of them were just, they're completely different human beings then compared to where they are now. I think people would love to see Lashley versus Roman. I know I'd love to see it. And then especially, excuse me, you know, we can have Cedric and Shelton versus the Usos, which would be great. And then you can incorporate Solo Sikoa in there. And maybe if you want to add an actual fourth person, you know, to wrestle, not just MVP, who's more just a mouthpiece. So, you know, if you do that matchup with the Bloodline, you have like an actual, you know, counterpart to Solo Sikoa. A lot of people brought up Carmelo Hayes as possibly, you know, being a member of a possible reformation of the Hurt Business. I think that'd be great. So that's a possibility. Remains to be seen. But I definitely do think overall we are heading towards a Hurt Business reunion. Whether that happens before or after WrestleMania, I'm going to say probably before, but remains to be seen. But all in all, man, definitely, absolutely, I'm 100% behind that. They were one of the very few bright spots of pandemic-era WWE. So Hurt Business getting back together, I'm 110% for. All right, so we got a Damage Control promo, and I'm just going to kind of breeze through this, and I want to talk about women's division stuff, but a little less on specifically this matchup. Damage Control promo, Becky Lynch come out. Can I talk actual words? Becky Lynch comes out, and basically, you know, they're talking about the Becky and Bayley match from a few weeks ago, and it basically leads to a tag team matchup, but Becky doesn't have a partner yet, so it just starts off 2-on-1, Becky versus Dakota Kai and Io Sky. Eventually, Mia Yim runs down. The match got good near the last few minutes. Damage Control won. They pinned Mia Yim. Is what it is there. We got some storyline advancing between Becky and Bayley. Becky, in her promo, is kind of teasing dissension in Damage Control, which I'm all for. And this is going to kind of round out to my overall thing that I wanted to say in the beginning. The women's division, man, I don't know what has been up, but I feel like outside of Bianca and Becky's two matches last year, and maybe Bianca versus Bayley at Crown Jewel, because it was a pretty entertaining, from what I remember, last woman standing matchup. Maybe the War Games matchup, because it was good as well. I just feel like we've had a lot of just run-of-the-mill women's matches that have felt very lifeless and unimportant. And I feel like we get that with, you know, the men sometimes too, but I just feel like both Raw and SmackDown women's divisions have just been hurting for a long time. Now, SmackDown's problem was the fact that Ronda Rousey was on top, and right under her was Charlotte Flair. You know, Ronda pretty much dominated all 2022, so SmackDown had no hope. And then Raw, on the other hand, outside of, you know, we got Becky back, so that's a positive. But the whole Damage Control thing, man, I'd say after Bayley lost at Extreme Rules, they just took a nosedive, man. And Damage Control, there's just something missing there. They just have not connected since those first few weeks, I don't think. And it's just something about the overall women's division. I just feel like every time they're on TV, for the most part, outside of a handful of women like your Bianca and your Becky, I just feel like we're just watching a lot of unimportant, unenthusiastic television. Like, I don't feel like there's a sense of urgency there. And it doesn't feel that important. Like, honestly, even though I'm not a fan of Charlotte winning the women's championship on SmackDown this past Friday, it felt like a big deal. It felt like something actually important happened in the women's division for the first time in a while, because whether I like Charlotte or not, she's a big deal. Her winning the title is a big deal. And like I said in the beginning of this video, I don't know where we're heading with the women's title matches at WrestleMania. I think that's a positive that it's unpredictable right now. I think we'll be getting, you know, Becky maybe versus Rhea, Becky versus maybe Ronda, maybe Bianca versus Rhea, like maybe Bianca versus Charlotte, if Bianca drops the title. Like, there's possibilities out there that, you know, some are good, some are bad. And again, I think the positive of it is, or the positive of me questioning that is like the unpredictable factor. But I just feel like we've been watching a lot of lack of sense of urgency and lack of important women's division matches and storylines over, I'm just going to say, the last 6 months, because that's when I started watching WWE full time again, even though I wasn't watching, you know, week to week basic for 3 years. I could tell you everything that happened because I kept up with the product. But there's just something missing, man. And I don't know if that's just the injection of a lot of new talent as well over the last few months with all these returns and debuts, which I'm a fan of a lot of the talent themselves. You know, Tegan Knox, we've gotten Emma, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky, among others, but maybe a lot of them just haven't been connecting, and I don't know, there's just something missing there in both the Raw and SmackDown women's division, and a lot of their matchups, I think, because of this lack of sense of urgency and this lack of connection with a lot of the talent in the division right now, it hinders the interest and enthusiasm on the matchups, I think is what I'm trying to say. So hopefully we get a real big overhaul of the women's division. I feel like we've headed there. So I'm not trying to sit here and say everything that Triple H has done with the women's division has not been great, because I think he's putting the pieces for a better division there. We're just not there yet. The talent's there. More talent's probably going to be on the way. I'm very interested to see who shows up in the Women's Royal Rumble. I think, you know, we can't keep doing the same legends every year. So between NXT call-ups, you know, before or after WrestleMania, more returns, you know, it's been rumored for a while. Chelsea Green, Deonna Purrazzo, even Jordynne Grace has been rumored. You know, I don't know when some of these Impact contracts are up, but those three are three shining stars in the Impact women's division. I think Deonna Purrazzo is a WrestleMania main event waiting to happen. I think she's that good. I think you put her in there with Charlotte Flair. Charlotte's the queen of the WWE women's division. I think Deonna is just that much good, if not better. So listen, there's positives, I think, to come in 2023 for the WWE women's division. I just feel like there's just been this lack of unimportance for a while, and even when something is meant to feel important, it's just not connecting. So hopefully on the road to WrestleMania and throughout 2023, the women's division sees a more entertaining and enthusiastic boost between both Raw and SmackDown's individual divisions. Let me tell you, we got one hell of a clip. It was like a 30-45 second promo, but they showed the Dominic and Rey Mysterio stuff from Christmas Eve, which I love. The Thanksgiving one was awesome. This one was even better, obviously, because Dominic gets arrested. You guys know the clip that they did with the Mysterios and Rey and all that stuff on Christmas Eve. Well, they showed it on Raw. Then they cut to this like 45 second promo of Dominic talking about how he's been in jail. He's been there. I don't even remember how he specifically said, but just talking about how the fact that he was in jail for like 48 hours or whatever it was, like 24 hours. They said like the next day, Rhea Ripley went, Mommy went and bailed him out. It was fucking great. It was gold. But the most entertaining part of this whole promo was that now that Dominic's been in jail, he was rocking a teardrop underneath his eye, similar to how Rhea Ripley usually puts like some kind of logo or something with makeup there. And then at the end of his promo, puts a toothpick in his mouth and starts talking Spanish to Rhea Ripley. I was like, my God, man. I'm gonna shoot you straight here. Back in the summertime, and everyone's like, Dominic's gonna turn on Ray, he's gonna join Judgment Day. I was like, that's gonna fall flat on its head, and it would have if Vince McMahon was still in charge. But Triple H letting the Judgment Day have free reign and just letting them be themselves and not taking in a supernatural, you know, thing like Vince McMahon wanted to do, because everybody who has any kind of dark elements has to be supernatural with Vince McMahon. Triple H just letting them be themselves and letting them blossom into one of the best parts of WWE television has not only benefited all of them, but it has certainly benefited Dominic Mysterio, a guy who I don't think a lot of people really believed in a year ago, or even at the beginning of his WWE career 2 years ago. I think a lot of people week by week are believing more in Dominic because he's just showing more sides of himself, and this character he's been portraying, this like Judgment Day-ish little bit of old school, you know, Eddie Guerrero attitude in there. It's just been great, man. Dominic is doing a great job. This promo tonight, even though it was like 30-45 seconds, whatever it was awesome. And I assume we're going to be getting Dominic versus Rey at WrestleMania. I hope Rey doesn't retire, but if he does, I understand. You guys say, I mean, favorite wrestler of all time. But it was great, man. I cannot wait to see how this storyline progresses because it was one of my favorite parts of Raw for the minute that it was. Quick little side note before we get into the main event. As I mentioned in my video the other day, talking about vignettes for a lot of these debuts and returns, we had a little Bronson Reed vignette tonight, just showcasing some of his NXT highlights, and it was pretty badass just to get that little look at Bronson Reed, just to give that casual viewer a look at Bronson Reed. I can't wait to see more of him on Raw. I think he's gonna kill it. Hopefully his debut was, I believe, on that last live Raw 2 weeks ago, and then last week was the best of thing, and then we got this vignette tonight. So hopefully we get him in the ring next week and we get a debut matchup. Really want to see Bronson Reed mixing it up on Monday Night Raw, but it was nice to see them build him up a little bit. More of that ahead of time for some debuts and returns I think would do even more better, but this was definitely a step foot in the right direction. And then we got your main event, United States Championship on the line, Austin Theory, Seth Rollins. I gotta say, I don't know if this is the conclusion to the storyline, could be not, but these two guys, man, they've had great chemistry throughout this whole thing that kind of loosely started end of October, beginning of November, whatever it was, and obviously bled through Survivor Series with Bobby Lashley in that awesome triple threat match, one of the best matches of 2022, and then really just kind of turned to just, you know, Theory versus Rollins after that, and all the promos have been great, all their interactions have been great. It's been a very, you know, enjoyable storyline to follow over the United States Championship, really very much making the championship feel important, which with Raw not having a world title is very important. You'll love to see it. And this is a great matchup, man. Again, just continuing that great chemistry. I'm honestly slipping my mind if they've had a one-on-one matchup in this story prior to this, and maybe my mind's just I forgetting right now, but regardless, this is a great matchup, man. There's some shenanigans at the end with the referee getting laid out and another ref getting in there, and Theory low blowing Rollins and all this stuff. Theory retained the United States title, but I'm very interested to see where both of these guys are going. Like, if this is the end of the feud, by all means, that's fine. I'm sure both of these guys are going to be in the 30-man Royal Rumble matchup at the end of January. I could see them running this match back one more time, but I don't think it's necessary. And, you know, I know there was a little shenanigans, at the end with Theory with the low blow. But again, I don't really think another matchup is necessary. But if that's the way they want to go, I won't be complaining. I'm sure it'll be great. But with, you know, WrestleMania looming, Royal Rumble looming, you know, it's time to kick things into high gear. Who's Theory fighting at WrestleMania? Are we getting Cody versus Seth again? Or is The Rock not going to be at Mania? We're going to get Cody versus Roman. If that's the case, what's Seth doing? What's Theory doing? I'm very, very interested to see, especially with the United States Championship, because I feel like the Intercontinental Championship, in one way or another, will have something to do with Gunther or Sheamus or McIntyre, two of those three guys at WrestleMania. I think those are like your top three options. Obviously, Gunther's the champ right now, but if he faces Lesnar, I assume he would drop the title beforehand. So that remains to be seen. The Intercontinental Championship going to be a big match for Mania, but I hope the U.S. title gets equally as big of a match. But they've ran Theory versus Rollins now. They've obviously ran him and Lesnar. The only other guy on Raw that I was thinking maybe they could, you know, run Theory against at Mania, outside of Cody Rhodes, was AJ Styles, since they haven't done that match yet, but it looks like AJ might not even be at WrestleMania because he's got a broken ankle. So, or if they want to go the Cody Rhodes route, you could do that, but then, you know, what's Rollins doing? I don't really want to see Rollins, Cody, and Theory in a trial. I mean, like, I don't want to see it, but like a triple threat match for the U.S. title. I don't know, man. I'm just throwing out ideas because we still have a lot of questions regarding the Rumble and what's going to happen there, but I don't know. Remains to be seen, but very much overall, there was a lot of in-ring action in the first Raw 2023. Not complaining. A lot of it was good. And I'm just very interested to see how things kick up and how we get closer to the Rumble, because I still think there's a lot of questions regarding what's going down at WrestleMania, which, again, I think is a positive, as I mentioned earlier about the women's matches at Mania. Unpredictability is great, and then even though there's only a few options in all of our minds, meaning The Rock and Cody Rhodes as to who's going to win the Royal Rumble matchup, it's nice to still have that unpredictable feeling regarding the Rumble and the road to WrestleMania. And speaking of Cody Rhodes, it's the only major thing I forgot to mention tonight, but we did get a little video package of Cody Rhodes that was basically just talking about his journey to coming back to WWE and wanting to be the WWE champion again. So I don't know if they showed that on purpose to kind of give you that innuendo that, you know, Cody's going to be coming back, you know, for the championship. But I don't think it's any coincidence that last week on the Best Of show, they did a sit down with Cody. This week, they showed the video package. Part of me felt like it almost like they're going to tell us beforehand, like Cody returns at the Royal Rumble, maybe to soften the blow if The Rock also shows up. So there's not like two out of nowhere surprise returns, if especially if The Rock wins. I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking too much into it, but I did think it was interesting that the video they showed with Cody tonight was specifically just him talking about wanting to become the WWE champion again. So remains to be seen. We are going to be doing a video probably sometime this week talking about The Rock and Cody Rhodes and the Royal Rumble. I know we made several videos talking about that so far, but I got some stuff I want to talk about regarding that WrestleMania. So check, stay tuned for that this week. Go check out the video from the other day if you didn't, with my SmackDown review, which is, again, kind of like this SmackDown review slash just talking about the storylines. That's more what my reviews are. And we will be doing one more, at least this week, of these style videos. We will be doing a video after the first AEW Dynamite of the year this Wednesday night. And then we'll probably do one next week, honestly, too, for AEW, since we'll have that big show in Los Angeles. And then regarding, and as I've talked about already in some previous videos, more show reviews like this outside of pay-per-views we'll be doing throughout 2022, so, or 2023, excuse me. So special roles, special SmackDown, special AEW Dynamites, we'll be doing reviews like this. So not every week, but you know, when it matters, when there's big shows. I will be going and attending the 30th anniversary of Raw at the end of the month, the final Monday Night Raw before the Royal Rumble in Philadelphia. So I'm very excited for that. So that'll be probably a next day video, more of a live experience slash my review of the show. But I'm very excited for that. So hope you guys enjoyed Monday Night Raw tonight, the first Raw of 2023. I thought it was a good start. Thought we had some solid in-ring action, and I continue to get more and more excited for the Royal Rumble every single day. We do have some Royal Rumble review videos coming up on the channel as well, as well as some rebooking videos for the 2015 Royal Rumble match. We'll be doing that. We'll be doing a fantasy booking video in the near future, in the next couple of weeks, where we will fantasy book the 2023 30-man Royal Rumble matchup. So we got a lot of great content coming to you guys' way on the Noah Nation YouTube channel, as well as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, if you want to just listen to the videos, if that's easier for you guys. But make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Join the channel down below if you want to support me. And thank you guys for checking out this video or listening to it, if you're listening to it on any of the audio platforms. So I'll see you guys in the next video. Peace.